Welcome, colleagues. We are so glad you are here with us to celebrate the members of the UUMA who were ordained 25 years ago in 1998 and 50 years ago in 1973. The colleagues who we honor today have lived through times of joy and sorrow, success and failure, challenge and fulfillment. Throughout all that life and ministry has brought their way, they have continued to answer their calls to the best of their ability. Thank you, colleagues, for your faithfulness to your call and to Unitarian Universalism.
Each member of the 25 and 50-year classes was invited to contribute a story or a reflection to our gathering today. We're delighted that so many of the honorees accepted that invitation. In our celebration tonight, you will have an opportunity to view all of the video stories from the members of the 25-year class, along with a montage of the longer reflections from the 50-year class. A full screening of the 50 Years in Ministry panel presentation has been scheduled for September 29th. We hope many, if not all of you, will be able to gather again then to continue celebrating and learning from our colleagues who are marking 50 years in ministry. Complete details have been pasted in the chat, and I think we have a slide for that as well.
In celebration of these good colleagues, we kindle the flame of our many chalices now. Here in this space, and wherever you are gathered. We are here because of the ones who came before. For a time, it's our privilege to be keepers of the flame. May the ministries we offer be a balm for the world and a blessing for all our inheritors, now and in the generations to come.
We remember with gratitude our deceased colleagues who would have been marking these milestone ordination anniversaries this year. Our colleagues who would have been in the 25-year class, Cynthia Prescott and Helen Christine Brownlee, and Jean Holly Bell, who would have been in the 50-year class. We honor their ministries and cherish the memories of their presence among us.
Oh, dear colleagues, would you pray with me? Spirit of life and love, Spirit breathing in us and through us and all around us. Spirit moving throughout this room, connecting us all in legacy and lineage, in a living, loving tradition of service. In all the ways that we minister, we give thanks. We bring thanks and gratitude to this service today. For this service where we acknowledge the ways we have served faithfully one another and our people and our world. The light of love here shines upon each face, dear Spirit of life. May we feel that light, that warmth, that soft, gentle love rest upon our faces. loving God, in our remembrance for those who have served, in gratitude for those who continue to serve, and in the bittersweet release of those who have lit the way for us and are now our ancestors, let us be good stewards of one another in life and in memory. Remind us, keep us connected in body and spirit of the light we are called to be and to hold and to share and to cast widely beyond ourselves. Let us scatter like seeds to soil the light we have received, that we continue to receive, and we are called to reflect back out into the world. Let our love and collegiality, let the friendships we have held and those just kindling, shine throughout this room, but not remain trapped in this room or this week. Rather, may it go out beyond these walls and be with us all the days of our lives. Good God, holy, loving Spirit, may we be surprised that the light of those who have come before us wrap around corners and find the smallest of spaces. May we be surprised by the illumination we see and can never see from their ministries and of those within this living legacy, this lineage, professional ministry we are with and to one another. Boundless eternal love at the center of all that is sacred, may ours be a religion, a ministry, ministries which like sunshine goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its shrine, the good heart, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love. Let us shine, dear God. Wherever we go, may we go and flow together, moving always at the speed of trust. May we shine on and on and on and be true and renewed to our deepest calling to serve faithfully and with courage, carrying all that has come before forward into the new dawn rising before us. May we be the ones to make it so, whether for 50 years, for 25 years, for this year before us, and even for this precious moment right now that we are blessed to share together. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.
I have been thinking over the last couple of days about how much I love each of you, about how powerful our work together is, about how meaningful our connections to one another are. I have been thinking about the light that is each of us. And as I was sitting here last night looking at all the lights up here, I thought, each one of us is like one of those lights. So for this moment, I ask you to join me in the spirit of meditation. With your eyes closed, breathe with me for a moment. Can you see the light that is you? Can you see it in your heart? Can you sense its glow? Do you feel its warmth radiating through your soul? If you do, just hum with me for a minute. Sing gently. Imagine your light getting more bright and emanating out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now it's not just your light, it's the light of the person sitting next to you. It's the light of all the people in the room. So these little lights of ours, these little lights of ours, we're gonna let them shine. We're gonna let them shine. These little lights of ours, we're gonna let them shine. These little lights of ours, we're gonna let them shine, let them shine, let them shine, let them shine. Now hum one time through. Each of you carry your light gently, tenderly, and boldly, and let it shine wherever you go. Amen.
Please join us as we honor and remember the UUMA members of the 25-year class. These are our colleagues who were ordained in 1998. Jeff Bars Snell, Karen Brammer, James R. Bridges, Mark W. Christian, Brian Henry Covell, Leonard R. DeRoche, Danielle DeBona, Catherine Duhon, Glenda R. Gray, Kathy Huff, Sandra L. Ingham, Cheryl E. Jack, Abby Yanamanchi.
Roger D. Jones, Jeffrey G. Jones, Lynn McCullough Kerr, William Leggett, Marianne Macklin, Kent C. Mathias, Eric H. Meter, Michael D. Moran, David Carl Olson, Alex Levy Richardson, Mary Stiegelman Samuels, Samuel Shaw, Grace H. Simmons, D. Michael Smith, Aaron Splain, Betty R. Stapleford, Patricia V. M. Tomino, Susan D. Vadine, Wayne L. Walder, Kate Ruth Walker, Vale Eliza Weller, Valerie T. Wills, Carol R. York, Helen Zidowecki, and Darcy Lane. Congratulations to the members of the 25-year class, and thank you for your ministries.
Hello, my beloved colleagues. I'm Kate Walker. I serve the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I have to confess, I took the charge of finding a touchstone to the maximum. I am surrounded by touchstones, surrounded by symbols and images that remind me that of my most important value, that I am a part of an interconnected web of existence, of mutuality, of love and support. So I have photos here of my family. I have images of the love and that I've received from my congregations, this stole made by beautiful hands at my first congregation, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Meadville, Pennsylvania. I'm here with a beautiful quilt made by beautiful women at Mount Vernon Unitarian Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And I have here a beautiful wall hanging of one of my favorite toys, Henrietta. Seven sisters here at First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh. But there's also that incredible layer of you, my colleagues. I have photos representing you, your love, your support, and those who have been with me since the get-go, and how I could not do any of this without you. And I also have symbols and images of self-care, and including Kuan Yin, about my spiritual self-care, and an image of my favorite activity is bicycling. And that kind of self-care is so important. My beloved, we are all part of this interconnected web of existence. And if I have anything to remind any of us about and how to survive ministry, it is gratitude. Gratitude for the many blessings I have received including all of you and your blessings through all these years. Thank you.
The fabric on this stole came from a silk robe from my great aunt Irma Talmadge. She traveled alone to China in 1910 to teach English at what is now Beijing University. I remember traits of hers that I hope I inherited from ministry: bravery, intelligence, persistence. She learned by going where she needed to go. She was adventurous. She did not allow her status as a woman of her time to limit her potential. She sacrificed to answer her call. I wear this stole and feel the presence of the ancestors, including now my mother, who gave me an understanding of the divine through nature and music and the arts, and through dedication to our ongoing spiritual practice that is Unitarian Universalism. I think of others who have shaped me, such as my former husband, Bob, my children, Zinn and Denison, my father, Brian, my beloved sisters, Lark and Tally, and my husband, David, who is both colleague and beloved. I think of the lands on which I've lived, the creatures and the seasons and cycles which have nourished me. I think, too, of all of the churches I've loved and the people within them that are the very best of us. I offer deep respect for the lay people who have shared their radiance, wisdom, and generosity. I bow to our stunning associational staff. They are values-driven, they are spirit-led, they are skilled, they are caring, and they're fun to work with. My ministry now is in stewardship and development at the UUA, and through this work, I get to visit many of our congregations. Each time, I fall in love again with all that is possible in our churches, with Unitarian Universalism, even with all of the ways in which it breaks my heart. And with you, dear colleagues, you are beautiful and incredible. You have mentored and influenced and inspired and healed and shaped me. Thank you for your ministry. And to God, spirit of life, music of the spheres, season and cycle, luminous darkness, sparkling joy, limitless love. You were always there, and you led the way. Colleague, may you be blessed in the living out of your call, wherever it may take you.
I'm sharing with you a stole that was given to me when I was installed as lead minister of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Baltimore City. I'm grateful for the ways I was prepared for Baltimore, with internships in Roxbury and Dorchester, and very public ministries in Boston and Flint. In Baltimore, I was pleased to have the challenge of serving through their three bicentennials: the founding of the congregation, the erection of the Unitarian Cathedral, and that first ordination, where Mr. Channing had a few words to say. For me, my enduring gratitude is in the half a dozen ordinations I got to mentor and supervise out of that Baltimore pulpit. And I served during the uprising after the death of Freddie Gray in police custody. I comforted my federal workers after the January 6th insurrection. And I served as COVID kicked us upside the head. In the end, I was unable to be as flexible and effective as I might as we entered year 14, and so I resigned my call. You may hear some regret in my voice. Still, I wear this stole proudly. It captures the colors and forms of the stained glass windows in the sanctuary. Windows, by the way, that were never completed over 100 years ago, the little gold triangular placeholders in the window became good enough then, and they are treasured today. And maybe my good enough then ministry will one day be treasured.
When my old co-minister, Amy, invited me back to our church in Palo Alto, I was a little nervous. It had been a difficult ministry, and I wasn't sure what I would find 10 years after my departure. So it made my heart glad to see this tree, this madrone that we had planted in a great processional out from the sanctuary during an intergenerational feast day, was still growing tall. And behind it, that straggly native plants garden that we put in as part of our green sanctuary program had been replaced by mature plantings. And behind that, a paved labyrinth where back in the day the ministers and youth had spent a long, hot day in the sun putting in a sand and riverstone labyrinth. It was a balm to my spirit to see that some of what we had planted together had taken roots and grown. This tree we planted to commemorate the 10th anniversary of our shared ministry here at the UU Church in Athens, Pennsylvania. It has grown and filled out in the years since, but it's a young tree. In this small congregation, what grows is sometimes not so visible. We are forever planting relationships and love. But I know that some have grown deep and thick, like roots that nourish and connect. Will they last? Will they matter? Will it be enough? Dear colleagues, we must have faith that what we plant is nourishing and transformative. Not everything we plant will grow. But within the ministry that you are planting right now are seedlings and saplings that will grow and bloom in ways that you might not even imagine.
I'm Mark Christian, and I was called to serve the Unitarian Universalist Church of Las Cruces, New Mexico in 1997, my first settlement out of internship in my seminary. I came from a tradition that, a strand in our tradition that did not get ordained by internship sites or somewhere else, so I waited for my first congregation. I know the point today is to bring some kind of an object or an artifact that represents your ordination, my ordination. But what I have instead is a story. And that was when I went to Las Cruces, I would drive to Santa Fe, 4 hours away, for the monthly cluster meeting of the ministers. And when it came time for my ordination in April, some of the ministers from Santa Fe drove down. One of them was a man named Al Judd, who brought me a great treasure, which I have beloved in my ministry. It was a bunch of books, you know, ministers with boxes of books. We've all seen it. But in this was a series of chanting works published in 1836, I believe, and the whole set of Emerson documents, his correspondence, his poems, his prose, etc., about 18 or so volumes of it, dated, I think, 1880. When he gave me these books, he said, these were given to me when I was ordained by someone who was leaving the ministry, with the instructions to use them and to be inspired by them. And then when you're ready to leave the ministry, to pass them on to someone else who's just entering. And I have now done that with those books as well. I have a new minister here in Oklahoma, in Hope, in Tulsa, Justin McCreary, and he has accepted those books from me as a gift for his ordination, as I received them from Al Judd, as a gift for my ordination, a new way to extend the right hand of fellowship, one I've truly appreciated over the years.
Hi. I was a lonely, struggling college student when I went to my first UU church. And I eventually became so involved in it that about 10 years later, I entered seminary. And there is where I learned about Nathaniel Stacy. I even wrote a paper about him. And he was a Universalist itinerant preacher in the early 1800s. And he was in New York State, he was in Pennsylvania, and right here in Michigan, where I am now. And he would sometimes travel as many as 200 miles to deliver a sermon. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. And there were times that he was only able to feed his horse. And that's what he would do. He'd feed his horse, but he wouldn't eat himself. And the conditions were just really rough in those days when you wanted to go around and preach. But in his autobiography, he wrote that someone had to do it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any Universalist societies or congregations. And I always loved that that's what he said, because that was really why I entered seminary, is it was so important to me when I was a college student. It really almost saved my life to have people who cared about me and have a place to go and feel a safe space was there for me. And I went into seminary because I wanted to make sure that in the future there were places that other lonely, struggling college students could go as well. And any future generation would have that for themselves as well. So that's why I've stuck around for 25 years.
Hi, this is Reverend Karen Brammer. I am right now in the Unitarian Universalist Church of Utica, New York, and I'm sort of in shock that I'm here saying hooray for 25 years. It has been a tremendous honor and blessing to be working primarily with our UU smaller congregations and also with our environmental ministries. I have grown so much and feel so much gratitude for being able to continue to do this work and plan to do so for another year or two or three, who knows. Be well, thank you all.
Good evening from Cotonou, Benin, West Africa. This is Irvin Brian Koval with members of the under 23 Benin national baseball team that I've been coaching with, along with my colleague here, for the last 2 years. Since I've been engaged in full-time ministry since 2014, I've been a member of a foreign service family, but I've been tracking on the developments in the UUA. I'd like to give a special shout out to members of the UUMA, my colleagues who are both in active ministry and retired, and also members of the former Central Midwest District Board of Trustees, who I've worked with for so many years, prior to my ministry concluding. So once again, congratulations to all of those who are being recognized tonight for the 25-50 ceremony, and greetings once again from West Africa.
Hi, I'm Roger Jones, coming to you from Sacramento, California. 26 years ago, I graduated from Meadville Lombard and moved from Chicago to the West Coast to Silicon Valley, where I was the extension minister for the UU Fellowship of Sunnyvale. They ordained me a year later in April, and they had this robe made for me for that that ordination. And then a couple years later, they voted to call me as their settled minister, and they installed me. And this stole is what they gave me when I was installed. After serving there for 10 years, I did an interim ministry for the Minnesota Valley UU Fellowship in Bloomington, Minnesota. And at the end of that year, 15 years ago, I came to the UU Society of Sacramento, first as the family minister and then as the called associate minister and working with Doug Kraft. And then Doug retired and I became the senior minister. But for the last several years, I have worked in co-ministry with my colleague, Lucy Bunch. And just over a month ago, we were installed as ministers of equal standing here in Sacramento. A couple years ago, a young woman started attending our service. She had moved from Sunnyvale to Sacramento, and she is on this stole. When she brought her little boy to church for the first time, she brought him down front, and I was wearing this, and she was very happy to point out her name and her sister's name and her best friend's name, people he knows. He was much less impressed and moved than we were about this history, but this stole reminds me of the history in ministry that I've been blessed to have and the many people that I've been blessed to come in contact with through it, and that includes you. Congratulations and blessings.
This remembrance is dedicated to Cynthia Prescott. This robe is a gift from my mother, Betty, 25 years ago upon my ordination. This robe is love personified. Until I was in my mid-teens, my life's career goal was to play shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I've come full circle. 25 years of learning that love, the power of love, is real. It has been personified, made real, thousands of times by everyone with whom my journey has intersected. 25 years of joys and concerns, joys and sorrows, delightful, exhilarating highs, soul-crushing lows, and yet always, always love, whether I acknowledged it or not. A 25-year societal, communal journey through learning about and internalizing other narratives besides the one I was born into and thoroughly conditioned by. Learning about love in the most unlikely of scenarios, police brutality, gun violence and proliferation, the physical world's backlash against humanity's degradation. A 25-year ministerial journey towards love made possible by too numerous to count beautiful people in congregations, at weddings and memorial services, in hospital rooms, and with grief-stricken but still beautiful people. Easy to love. A 25-year journey towards love through personal trauma and crises, an estranged son, an ill daughter, a letter of complaint, Lyme's disease, colon cancer, major surgery, and that's just in the last year and a half. A 25-year journey of learning how powerful love truly is. Thank you, all of you, for personifying love, for being there, for showing me not only the ongoing presence of love, but also the actual, the equally very real possibility of unexpected moments of joy. Who knows? Perhaps the Pirates will still take me. In the meantime, be joyful and give all the love you possibly can on your journeys. Alleluia. Amen.
Dear colleagues, hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Eric Meter, and I currently serve the First Unitarian Congregation here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The stole that I'm wearing now was given to me at my installation here this last October, and it depicts the scene behind me where the congregation faces out. The Ottawa River is just there, and beyond the river, the hills of the Gatineau in Quebec. It is a stunning location, and it is an absolutely stunning stole, as you can see. The two-legged critters and the four-legged critters are represented here. It is masterpiece, and there is indigenous beadwork that was done by women, Algonquin women, up in Kitikinzebi, up in the hills of Gatineau. I told the congregation it really should be behind glass on the wall, and they said, no, we want you to use it. So I am in love with it, in awe, and in gratitude. The other stole I want to briefly mention, I haven't cared for well enough, and it was given to me by the Unitarian Universalist Church in Livermore when they ordained me back in March of 98, yeah, 25 years ago plus. It was a much plainer stole in some way, but it had some intricately beautiful needlework, embroidery on the base of each side, a single tree, and I love that stole. The needlework was done by a woman in the congregation named Tabira Hartwig. In the weeks and the time that she would visit her mother, who was dying at the time, Tabira would do the needlework while she visited bedside. And I will always remember that. Our congregations can be a handful at times, but they give us so much. I just hope to give back in turn. Thank you. It is good to be with you even in this way. My love to you all. Take care.
Hey everyone, Marianne Macklin here in Bloomington, Indiana. And shout out to all the 25 and 50 year honorees and all those people who supported in getting us here. So I just finished my ministerial record, putting it together from scratch. And I must tell you that so many, all my colleagues, all the people I've served are so in my heart right now. In my body, just all the stories I've been going over and writing and all of this integration from this. And one of the things that surprised me, probably shouldn't have, was just the profound impact that my spiritual mentor, my spiritual coach and guide for many, many years, Angela Zarian, the effect she's had on my life and my ministry. And her wisdom is just such a part of me now. I don't think I recognize it a lot. And I wanted to just share one piece of that with you, because I bring it back to congregation members, to individuals, to myself over and over. And that's those times in our life when we are experiencing soul loss, whether that's a depression, an emptiness, when we lose our way, which happens in ministry, right? So she has these four questions you ask when you're experiencing soul loss. However you interpret these, where in life did you stop dancing? Where in life did you stop singing? Where in life did you stop being enchanted by story? Enchanted by story. And where in life did you become uncomfortable with the sweet territory of silence? May these questions bring fullness to your life and soul. Love you guys.
I'm Parisa Parsa. When I entered our ministry, I was determined to carve a path for community ministry in our midst, on top of the already well-trod ground of elders. I was and still am devoted to justice work and was called first to the UU Urban Ministry in Boston. My call was all about bringing together seemingly disparate communities and people and finding ways to see our common humanity, get curious about our differences in ways that helped us to build a more vibrant, connected world. Not because we all end up agreeing, but because we realize how very much we belong to one another, how deeply our fates are tied together. I've now spent my 25 years in ministry back and forth between community and parish calls, and what I've learned over and over again is how desperately the world still needs to hear the good news of universalist theology, how badly we need to activate it in practice. James Luther Adams said that a faith that is not the sister of justice is bound to bring us grief. That was my mantra as I entered the ministry, advocating for people surviving domestic violence, working with unhoused people alongside amply housed people in San Francisco, serving wealthy suburban congregations, and leading nonprofits that took me to some of the most privileged places on the planet. I've collaborated with Rockefellers and worked on projects at the heart of Facebook, and I've offered memorial services for unhoused people beloved in their communities, though almost no one knew their stories. I've facilitated conversations on guns in Wyoming and in Washington, D.C. I've facilitated meetings in congregations deliberating whether and how to allow a convicted sex offender return to church. As our association and our times have changed, I've watched us become more strident about justice and more neglectful of our faith, which is the opposite of what this quarter century in ministry has taught me. So with apologies to James Luther Adams, I think our times require that we hold forth that a justice that is not a sister of faith is bound to bring us grief. Because the more I've worked with people across deep ideological differences, the more I've witnessed the fact that we must, all of us, be considered saved, or there is no salvation worth having. I continue to be called to a ministry that's about an audacious belief that we can create justice that holds and lifts up the humanity of all of us, of the person working on the other side of the political aisle, especially because we are aware of their humanity, and we believe that they might be able to see us too, if only we would allow for that. That we can proclaim loudly the truths that we hold dear and hold humbly to the fact that none of us knows entirely where to go from here. Until that final union with the love of God is made real, we have to humble ourselves as servants to its possibility and commit ourselves to being agents of that love. That is my prayer for us, my dear colleagues, and our faith.
Let us give our appreciation to our 25-year class, shall we? Thank you so much. Thank you for your many, many gifts. We now invite those who are of the 50-year class, if you are in the hall, to come forward, and perhaps we'll see a few on Zoom as well, as we honor and remember members of the 50-year class. These individuals were ordained in 1973. John A. Burens. Wesley V. Romacco. Arlen Roy. Charles J. Stevens. And Leslie A. Westbrook. Congratulations to the members of the 50-year class, and thank you for your ministries. Truly, thank you. Today we are sharing a montage of excerpts from the 50 Years in Ministry panel. We hope you can join us for the full showing of 50 Years in Ministry panel with Q&A after on Friday, September 29th.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first colleague. Reverend John Burens recently published his ninth book, A Religious Center with a Civic Circumference, Unitarians in San Francisco since 1850. He lives in that city with his wife, Gwen, a retired priest in the Episcopal Church. He served as the sixth president of the UUA from 1993 to 2001. John, we are honored to receive your words.
Thank you, Leslie. Since I can't seem to stop writing books. I've begun working on one that's to be called Something Left Over, a memoir of ministry. The title isn't just about experiences that never quite fit into sermons. It actually comes from one of my first mentors in leadership, the late John Urtha, an African-American UU educator. Both before and after my first year at Harvard Divinity, I spent two summers at Homestead 2, a leadership development camp that John ran on the shores of Moose Pond in Denmark, Maine, that brought together kids from both the inner city and UU kids from the suburbs. Urtha had been a mentor to both my Harvard roommate, Bill Sinkford, and to my most serious college girlfriend. He defined leadership in very simple terms. It's having something left over after taking care of yourself to care for others, and then for larger issues that impact us all. I think I've repeated variations on this theme at ordinations, installations, graduations, and blessedly other mentors reinforced this learning in me. My first real model for ministry came from the late Reverend Barbara Hollerith, one of the few women in parish ministry in the late 60s, early 70s, when I began my formation. When Barbara was on call for the clergy consultation service on problem pregnancy before Roe v. Wade, she was often inundated, and I was called to help out with the logistics and sometimes talk to the boyfriends or husbands. Barbara gave me a vision of the church that was truly intergenerational. Through inclusive retreats with creative themes like the celebration of the beauty of the night, that included a hayride and a bonfire and telescopes and stories and a midnight supper for the grown-ups after the kids were in bed. And when I was ordained in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1973, Barbara preached that morning on women's liberation and the one-man show. It was with a story about a woman artist, a friend of hers, who had ironically been granted such a show. And then in charging me at my ordination, she reminded me that my commitment to my wife, Gwen, who was already ordained in her Episcopal tradition, preceded my own ordination vows, which were not to serve Unitarian Universalism alone. My vows were to the service of the Church Universal. I have never regretted having become a Unitarian Universalist minister. This vocation has stretched my soul up, down, sideways, and all around more than any other path in life possibly could have. And life, as A. Paul Davies once put it, is just a chance, after all, to grow a soul. So may we all continue to stretch and grow our souls and not shrink them as time passes on until we take our final breaths, and may our last words be words of thanks.
We're going to go next to Reverend Dr. Wesley Romatko, who provides ministerial services for small congregations in the tri-state area of Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa. He was on the Chicago Area Council and was religious education chair of the Church of the Larger Fellowship. He has written some 13 biographies for the Dictionary of Biography and lives and works on the Family Century Farm. We're so grateful to get a chance to hear from you, Wesley.
Okay, it hardly seems possible that 50 years has passed since I was first called to a congregation on April Fool's Day, which I think is an interesting juxtaposition of things. I once had a chaplain supervisor who said this: "Oh, it's one thing to be fools for Christ, but you mustn't be fools." So I have tried not to be a fool in certain ways. It is also interesting to me that some of the same issues that were present when I started, including the environment and all the other ones you will name or are naming in your minds today, are still there. And it has struck me as I was reflecting on the idea of a minister as being a witness or a prompter more than the center of things. I was thinking about this particularly in the case of a wedding, because traditionally I hold the book and I have the words if somebody forgets, but I am just a witness. Those involved are the ones who actually carry things out. It is the same thing that is true when a child is born or we're celebrating a life. Or participating in something like the Chicago Area Council or any of the other similar public groups, public and church groups that we may have been called to. I was a witness in the sense, same sense, when I was chair of the Religious Education Committee for CLF. I witnessed what others were in fact doing. And I think that one is called to do these things, and sometimes it is quite stressful. I remember that I started out, among other things, by driving an ambulance and becoming suddenly a fire department chaplain. And what happens when one sees people who suffer in things like car accidents, or lose a child, or even worse than that, I had the occasion to be called upon to preside at a funeral for someone who died as the victim of a senseless murder. In all of this, one can really, in some sense, only be a witness, and a witness not just in the sense of seeing things, but in a witness to one's beliefs and the larger beliefs that reside in our congregations and in each individual, as well as in their collective senses.
And next, we're going to hear from Reverend Arlen Roy, who is a licensed clinical social worker and a board-certified diplomate in clinical social work, a clinical fellow in the American Association of Marital and Family Therapy, a recognized psychotherapist with the Association for Clinical Pastoral Education, and has full fellowship in Unitarian Universalist Parish and Community Ministries. Since August of 2021, Reverend Roy has been the halftime minister for the First Unitarian Society of Westchester. Reverend Roy has published in popular periodicals and professional journals ranging from the New York Times and Critical Mass to the Journal of Contemporary Psychotherapy, the Journal of Religion and Health Group, the Journal of Eastern Group Psychotherapy Society, and Pulse, Voices from the Heart of Medicine. What an honor it is to hear from you next, Arlen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the chance to describe my community ministry at Northeast Counseling Center of the Foundation for Religion and Mental Health. The Foundation for Religion and Mental Health offers services on the sliding scale, sponsored by local congregations, with offices in local congregations. In three ways, my interfaith religious agency meets needs beyond that of generic psychotherapy. First, everyone wants to lessen painful symptoms and most also improve their relationship to profound values. Many people who have hit bottom on their previous lifestyle and are exploring a new congregation, perhaps, or meditation center or 12-step program like Alcoholics Anonymous, want to feel their spiritual hunger is understood. Almost always, I am the first Unitarian Universalist they have met, and my cross-cultural and cross-theological training enables me to comprehend a variety of spiritual journeys. Despite shame and guilt, they want to share their struggles, confident that I accept them and see a way forward. Those terrified by trauma want to move past feeling like they live at a distance to life. where little touches them, and feel a heartfelt meaning. Second, for those who are religiously traumatized, it is a safe space to vent their fears and rage. Clergy and members of childhood birthright religions can be deeply disenchanted with their faith and need freedom to follow their own search for meaning while trusting that I know their tradition. I help them feel safe and own what was good in their heritage while accepting that their spiritual search may take them in a very new direction. Third, for 20 years, I conducted a free clergy support group for priests, ministers, and rabbis to help each other in what is sometimes a lonely, anxious profession. The dynamics of congregations are pretty similar across many faith groups, despite dissimilar rituals and concepts. Burned out, lonely, or anxious clergy look for someone who empathically accepts them as a leader who must preach when they feel exhausted, counsel a congregant when they are distracted, and resolve bitter congregational conflicts. Someone who listens and reflects with them on their despair, but also notices their strengths. This clergy community is deeply, supportively reassuring. I have attended the First Unitarian Society of Westchester for 50 years as both member and community minister. Fellow congregants have long provided money to support low-fee psychotherapy clients, legitimacy for my services, and board trustees during the 10 years I was president of my agency. As a highly participatory congregation, the atmosphere of mutual and reciprocal concern has energized my ministry. Finally, I'm grateful to the First Unitarian Society of Westchester for the empathy shown in our community, which reinforces me. When we light candles of joy and concern, share reactions after each sermon, or attend discussion groups, I see how we want to know and give to each other. From the front during services, I see joy, sadness, and anxiety sweep across each person's face as someone shares with us. I can hear the empathic chuckles and gasps as they hear reports of a new grandchild or a dying friend. We are enriched in the telling, hearing, and responding. This informs my community ministry with compassion.
And next, we're going to have the privilege of hearing from the Reverend Charles Stevens, Minister Emeritus of the UU Congregation in Washington Crossing in Titusville, New Jersey, and also of the UU Congregation in Ellsworth, Maine. He and Allison, his wife, retired to Blue Hill, Maine in 2012, where Charles continues to be a guest speaker at a number of UU congregations and also provides individual spiritual direction for colleagues and lay people upon request. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank the UUMA for doing this. Where did those 50 years of ordained ministry go? As a young person, I had a desire to make a positive difference in the world, and I still maintain that desire. Being a Unitarian Universalist minister not only gave me the opportunity to make a difference, but the Unitarian Universalist ministry demanded that I continue to make a positive difference in the world, and along the way, try to become a better person. Being a minister allowed me to enter into people's lives, even as a 24-year-old. Suddenly, I was entrusted with a huge interpersonal responsibility and significant expectations and wonderful privileges. Being a minister carries with it a mantle of responsibility as well as privileges. It continues to mean that I can walk into people's lives as a 74-year-old minister, and I'm still entrusted with significant responsibilities, expectations, and wonderful privileges. I remember early in my ministry, a recent high school graduate died in a tragic car accident. Because I was the minister, I had the mantle of spiritual authority as a 24-year-old. The young man's family welcomed me into their lives in a way that was far beyond what I could have expected. Later that year, an elderly farmer in his 80s died of a brain cancer tumor, and again, I was welcomed into the intimacy of their family grief because I was their minister. Early on, I realized that ministry is a relational calling, and it comes with the mantle of past ministries. As a UU minister, that mantle of spiritual authority expanded. Same-sex couples openly welcomed me into their lives and sought me out to officiate at their wedding ceremonies long before it was legal. Transgender members openly talked with me about issues they were facing because I had the mantle of a Unitarian Universalist minister, their minister. On my retirement, I was so proud to receive an award in appreciation of my efforts to support the transgender support group in New Jersey. It said on it, "People are not always as they appear, but good friends are forever." I was part of their lives because I was a minister, their minister. They trusted me, and I wasn't about to let them down. The relational aspect of being a minister has encouraged and allowed me to take countless leadership roles in community social justice organizations. I became a leader in a church-sponsored statewide community organizing group, working with clergy and lay leaders from many different faiths. I was welcomed as a leader in an interfaith group after the 9/11 bombing, which led to an interfaith compassionate listening group where we went to Israel and Palestine. When the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim leaders were talking about their all seeing God in the same way, one imam looked at me and smiled and said, "Or whatever Charles calls it." Another time, the church board heard that I was part of a group of clergy officiating multiple same-sex weddings prior to it becoming legal, and the board wanted me to clarify to all concerned that I had the church board's full support in what I was doing. They wanted me to have the full mantle of the church's ministry. Those board members and the many families I served became participants in my ministry, their ministry.
And we're going to hear from the Reverend Leslie Westbrook, PhD, ordained in 1973 at Arlington Street Church, Boston, Massachusetts, who has held many positions within the denomination: religious educator, parish minister, community minister, in pastoral psychotherapy. Her biographical memoir of her last 3 years at the UUA from 1978 through 1981 as Minister for Women and Religion will appear in the Journal of UU Studies in volume 46, which is to come out this spring. Leslie, it's an honor to hear from you.
I was ordained in 1973 at Arlington Street Church, and I've maintained my identification as a minister within the UUA through all these years. 50 years ago, I told a story in my first ministerial record sheet in response to the question, "Tell us about your understanding of ministry as it relates to Unitarian Universalist congregations." This is what I said. In the early 1960s, when I was an adolescent, my parents attended All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C. My family was poor and Southern. My parents were religiously liberal and had always been excluded by our many fundamentalist relatives. The church school director at All Souls, Bernice Just, found a place for me in the liberal religious youth, even though there was a waiting list for that group, because she knew I needed to be with peers with whom I could share my religious values. The youth group advisor was the assistant minister of All Souls, the Reverend James Reeb. At the beginning of the fall, the LRY went away on a weekend retreat. I was intensely shy and kept to myself. Then one evening, as the group walked for hours through the Gettysburg National Cemetery, a tradition that only makes sense to a group of teenagers, I found myself walking for a few moments alone with Jim Reeb. I could see his pipe glow in the darkness as we walked under a canopy of trees. We walked along in silence, and then he said quietly, "Isn't this better than being alone?" I did not answer. I never acknowledged Jim's entrance into my lonely world, but I felt the healing care of his ministry. Several years later, during the civil rights struggle, Jim Reeb died on the streets of Selma, Alabama, the victim of assailants' clubs. And when he died, I vowed to enter the liberal ministry. My reasons were twofold. In the quiet of my lonely solitude, a man who happened to be a Unitarian Universalist minister had dared to reach out to me to understand my loneliness. I experienced that ministering care as catalytic, as loving. And I wanted to do the same for others, to be in a position where I could reach out and help others come to psychological birth. I knew the liberal ministry would give me that opportunity. Secondly, Jim Reeb made a public statement by going to Selma when Martin Luther King called. He died doing what he could to promote a religious value precious to all Unitarian Universalists, belief in the worth and dignity of every human person. When he died, I vowed to do what I could in the social arena for that religious value. The Unitarian Universalist Church had been willing to stand up for its beliefs. I was proud of our denomination, and I wanted to be part of it. My story is highly personal. It shapes and defines my understanding of ministry. It accounts for my commitment to pastoral psychotherapy, for my emphasis on the sustaining nature of meaningful worship, and for my involvement in social witness by the church. And yet, I think my story is not so different from other stories about their own love affair with Unitarian Universalism. Each of us has experienced some personal affirmation by our church. We know we treasure it, and we want to offer that love, that affirmation to others. It is through our personal stories that we embody the liberal ministry in contemporary society.
Let us thank again those who have given us those words of wisdom, those with 50 years of service, so relevant for our times. Let us thank them one more time. I was initially given the charge of doing a blessing and benediction, but the blessing has been the words that we have already heard from our colleagues. So I will only close with a benediction. In this time, when 1 year in the profession can seem an eternity, we are awed by those who have served for so many eternities. For those who have studied and served and broken bread with the colleagues we've honored today, may this be a time of gladness. For the colleagues who are honored, may this be a time to quietly in your heart take in those achievements that you have given as testimony to us today. For those who have gone before us, we say thanks. For those who have joined the ancestors before we could honor them. Please know you are part of our great cloud of witnesses. In this living tradition, always learning, may our generations of ministry keep learning from one another. And may this tradition of honoring faith and persistence be ever precious and ever celebrated. And can we all say together these words? Thank you.
Thank you.